only thing better than watching TV is taking it personally.
You guys, I'm recording this late on Friday night. Today's schedule did not work out in my favor. It is quite literally 12:45 in the morning, and I said, before I tuck myself into bed tonight with a Christopher Manzo body pillow, which if anybody has not invented that, please slide into my DMs. I would love to collab. And did I say, by the way, it's Annie's Girls or Taking It Personally, whatever the fuck show this is. It's almost 1 a.m. And I just said to myself, there's just a couple of things that I needed to discuss before I go to beddy bye, before I go to bed. I feel like I do need to put aspects of Pump Rules P2 to bed as well. And I just watched, so I know I talked about at the beginning of the New Jersey deep dive episode, I mentioned that, you know, my thoughts on VPR were still cooking and I had watched the version of part two that had aired, but I wanted to watch the Peacock Uncensored because I wanted to see what wasn't included. And I have to tell you, so I watched that, and then I watched the after show again, and then I listened 1.5 times to Schwartz's appearance on Brittany and Jax's podcast. Jax was not there, blessedly, honestly. And I feel like I've been like living inside of the VPR bubble today, and it's hard to kind of frame a little bit of a perspective that isn't some essentially fraternal twin of things that I've said before, which I think is why part two, one of many reasons why part two in this reunion has been kind of a letdown. Because while we know that the big surprise is coming next week, that the cast gets to see the last 5 minutes, and then allegedly somehow from Tom saying he's Robert Durst, we get into some sort of throwdown between Ariana and Lala. Like, if that isn't the biggest indicator that this show is flailing, I don't know what is. But having seen a bunch of VPR today, and having it kind of like settle into my bones, into my marrow, I just feel a little bit like, it's not even frustrated. It's just kind of sad, or not even sad, honestly, a little annoyed about being in the position that I think many of us viewers feel that we are, which is trying, again, and I know that I've said this, to fit a square peg into a round hole. And the difficulty that I feel is that, you know, Andy got into a lot of shit when he called Lala and Brock the voice of reason. And he retracted it after we all dragged him to hell and said, oh, I didn't mean it. I just meant that they were like the most interesting to watch, which, again, doesn't make any sense when you factor in Brock into the equation. Apologies, but no, I just don't see it. But the difficulty I feel is like in thinking about that, in reflecting on that, I feel like his use of words, I don't think it was wrong. I disagree with it, but from the perspective of production, and LVP is included in that, even though she's literally a background actor at this point, in the going off of the perspective of production, I think that they have considered Lala to be such a voice of reason that they didn't factor in what if the majority of the audience said LOL. Like, what if her powerful, commanding way of driving home a narrative, which she's oftentimes really engaging with, even if I don't necessarily agree with what she's saying, she has a powerful way of communicating things. It's how she's been on the show for so long and how she, you know, last season certainly broke out. Because she has a powerful way of communicating things, but some of them are filled with shit, it puts us all in, or many of us at least, into a little bit of a difficult position because we're trying to make her voice of reason in some way work, like make sense or work within the construct of this universe. I would argue that she has done more to hurt the universe of Vanderpump Rules this season than Ariana did. But she is trying to convince us, as Sheena is, her dear close friend, certainly as production is, and for a week or so on the radio, Andy was as well, that this person's version of reality is the reality. But what if we don't buy that? It's like the thing, you know, they tossed around intent versus impact. And I don't know if they use this phrase, they might have, but it's certainly one that I was thinking, which is like, feeling isn't a fact. You can have a feeling that something feels inaccurate or feels false or feels like a lie, but that doesn't mean that's what reality is telling us. And it's like I'm trying to look through everything that she's saying to make some sense of it, because I feel like the show has put me in the position of having to do that, because they have given her so much, I think, grace. And they've also afforded her a lot of time to make these kinds of points. And the fact that she's tripled down has really hurt, I think, the show, because instead of just taking a second, giving herself a second, maybe it didn't happen the day of filming, maybe she was too surprised by the reveal at the end, but we see in the teaser or some sort of trailer for next week that she says, or maybe it was the master trailer for the reunion overall, where she says essentially, I'm not changing my mind about what I've seen, which I think is a huge issue. You know, the whole Michigas, the whole mission statement of AG, which sometimes happens, sometimes doesn't, and in either case we talk about why, is normalizing change your mind based on new information. If Lala can't do that, if she can't adjust to a different version of reality because she, and I still will continue to say this, production are so set in a narrative that Ariana's hurting the show, what are we, the audience, supposed to do with that? Because the reveal that the cast will be shocked by, we've already seen. We already know this is happening. We have to force ourselves to apply some measure or not, apply some measure of grace to the cast for not knowing that ending. But for a lot of us, we didn't need it. It just reaffirmed what we've been feeling all along, which was that the positioning this season around Tom was shit. And I got into this on that Satchel Spectacular, which is like 2 hours of deep diving all things Summer House and VPR. And one of the satchels that I read, one of your satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Clore and Ben Simone, asked the question that I think a couple of people are asking, which is like, is one of the reasons that Tom is getting so much of a sympathy edit because he was just available more often to film? Like, is that the reason that this is happening? Because if that's the case, production really, really fucked up. Because if someone has more of an opportunity to film, but that genuinely does not benefit the reason that the show was so successful last season, then you have a real issue here. And it feels like production and at least half the cast is upset at Ariana for not doing more of a one-on-one dynamic with Tom. But why would they assume she ever would? It feels like they feel betrayed by her not doing something that I can guarantee you she never said she would. And I want to know what the conversation was like with production and Tom, production and Ariana. You could argue production and Rachel when they were still in negotiations and she was, you know, per their deep dive, I think it was in Variety or the Hollywood Reporter, had to have been Variety, where they said essentially, you know, she was asking for a development deal and that's an equal pay to Tom and Ariana, and we were like, no thanks. I just kind of wonder what the conversation was like between production and Ariana, because my guess is she told them the thing that she told us last season, that she told us in media, in between or during filming, and what she has certainly said since filming started, which is like, I don't want to have anything to do with him. So if, as she told us previously and is telling the cast repeatedly during the season, she doesn't want to participate in an apology narrative specific to Tom, why are they so upset that she's not doing the thing she said she wouldn't do? And I don't buy this whole argument that she's fucked up the show by not doing that, or production saying this is Ariana's fault if this doesn't go well, because I look at the level of grace that other franchises have given cast members who don't want to interact. Like, literally, on alternating years in Orange County, the season starts where somebody doesn't want to fuck with, like, at least two other people. Look at what's happening on New Jersey right now. Like, literally, Melissa and Teresa do not exist, according to each other. Marge doesn't want to ever acknowledge Teresa in any form. And then there's Jen Fessler doing whatever the fuck it is that she's doing to try to get that, you know, can of marinara to hold and the title cards next season. Like, there are other shows that are handling and grappling with the fact that cast members don't want to film. But I have to tell you, I don't remember. I know we're early days in New Jersey, that there's been a real severe critique from one cast member to the other of like, oh, Teresa won't film with Melissa, she can go fuck herself, that our friend circle is floundering, and vice versa. Audience members might think that, but right now, I think both members of the cast are given a certain level of grace because the show wants them to remain. So why is production so mad that Ariana is here? I really don't get it. And the reunion is just further solidifying this in my mind. Then I watch the after show and I'm like, Sheena is really mad at Ariana. And I know that it's specific to Ariana, but I also think Sheena and Lala are blaming Ariana in some way for the audience siding with her. And I don't know how much of that is her fault, because at the end of the day, this woman was cheated on. So you might have a certain level of frustration about her not involving herself when members of the audience or folks on social are turning against you because of your behavior, regardless of whether or not it's deserved. But I just kind of feel like they're taking sort maybe granular examples and blowing this up into a narrative that genuinely doesn't make sense. And listen, posing for a photo with Tom when you're like on a cast trip or whatever the fuck you're doing and having people say, how dare you stand next to him, is one thing. I feel like that is, I can understand how that got blown up because of how we feel about all things Sandoval, but I don't think that Sheena did anything wrong in that moment. And I understand why she was upset that Ariana didn't kind of vouch for her. And Ariana herself, like seemingly minutes after Lala is dragging her, says, you know, Lala, I appreciate why you explained to me the fact that, like, you know, my concern about having another headline involving me is it, the headline is going to happen regardless, so I might as well say something and defend my friend. All of that being said, I then watch the after show, which I guess I recommend. It's not enjoyable like Summer House is, or like interesting and dynamic in the way Summer House is, but there is a reveal of information. And again, for like the thousandth time, Bravo's after shows are on their YouTube. They might also be on Peacock. I think they're also available on Peacock too, if you don't have access to YouTube. And, you know, Sheena goes into this saga of the fact that she was really upset at BravoCon because she was, you know, mad at the audience for calling into question her behavior in attending some fucking after party situation in Tom's penthouse. By the way, do we need to say penthouse over and over and over again? Like, I remember BravoCon, it was in Vegas. Like, a penthouse, Tom's not getting like top tier, you know, whatever Tom Girardi was paying for with like money he stole from orphans and burn victims. Like, I don't know what Tom Sandoval's penthouse looked like. I think that's more of a version of just like you're in an apartment, it's the top floor, so we pretend it's a penthouse when it's absolutely not. But anyway, Sheena gets into this whole dialogue with Lala while James looks on and is just kind of, I think, pretending he's anywhere else at that point. But she gets into a conversation about the which Lala certainly encourages, about the fact that Ariana doesn't defend me about behaviors and kind of understand that I would never do anything to hurt her. And she refers to this fact that she was dragged at BravoCon because someone found out, I guess, that she had gone to some fucking after party at Sandoval's hotel room. And, a member of the audience asked Ariana at a panel how she felt about it. And Ariana was like, that's not great. I'm not thrilled to hear it, whatever the actual language was. And Sheena was upset that Ariana in that moment didn't defend her. And Sheena's saying, even though there's a clip of her at a panel being like, well, I never turned down an after party, which is a ridiculous thing to say. Sheena's response is like, well, Ariana should know better. She should know that actually what I was doing at that after party was criticizing Tom and having a stern conversation with him about Ariana. And if she had just given me the benefit of the doubt, she would have understood that I was doing these things in my head, thinking like this is a way to defend my friend. And, you know, Lala's tripling down and saying, why would you think she would ever defend you? She's never been that person. She's a terrible friend. And Sheena's just seemingly filled with a lot of frustration and a lot of, I think, anger that's directed Ariana's way for not protecting or defending her. And this is where I think there's a little bit of a big difference between the posing for a photo with Tom and what she's telling us she did at BravoCon. And I'm just thinking about it, thinking of what Ariana said to her during filming itself, which was, I don't want you to talk about me to Tom. I don't want it. I know that you think I want it, but I don't. I don't want you reaching out to him, telling him he should apologize to me or anything else. If he wanted to do that, he would, and he doesn't. And so there we are. Like, he doesn't make a move to express anything unless there's a camera here. And to think that Sheena did this thing again after Ariana explicitly told her that she didn't want this done is confusing to me. And Sheena's reaction is essentially, Ariana has told me twice she doesn't want me to do this thing. And yet it's Ariana's fault for not then defending me when she also seemingly wasn't aware of the specifics of our conversation. Like, the perspective that Sheena and Lala seem to have about Sheena and Ariana's relationship is that Ariana should always give Sheena the benefit of the doubt. And Sheena's saying, essentially, I have been a perfect friend to her. I've been 1,000% loyal. And I just haven't seen that. I don't think the bar should be 1,000% loyalty. But I also don't see Sheena listening to Ariana and thinking of Ariana's feelings before she acts. I understand that Sheena has every right to feel a certain way about how carrying anger, as she says, on Ariana's behalf is bad for her mental health. I'm not negating it. I'm not denying it. But I also don't understand why a decision that she's making is one she's now blaming Ariana for. I don't understand why she feels the need, instead of, like, this is stuff to work on, honestly, with your therapist and not your friend. If you have an understanding of Ariana's own experiences with depression, with anxiety, with just going through the day-to-day machinations of her breakup with Tom and how that has affected her and the level of anger that she feels about Tom, why you think it would be appropriate to do this once, let alone several times, approaching Ariana and saying that he's essentially not that bad? Because there's a difference between letting go of anger and trying to convince the betrayed ex-partner that this man feels apologetic, feels really bad, is filled with remorse, and seemingly so am I for being so upset. You can talk about that with Lala. You can talk about that with God. You can talk about that with your pharma, whomever. You can talk about that with your therapist every Thursday at 4. You can talk about that with your husband, Brock. but the need to constantly approach this person who's telling you her LOL boundaries, which we'll probably get to, who's telling you her boundaries are like, I don't want to be a part of an apology narrative. Why do you think that you inserting yourself and your version of that would make sense? If Ariana doesn't want to be a part of an apology narrative, either led by Tom or led by, God forbid, one of her close friends, why do you think you're the exception to that? And then why are we punishing Ariana over and over and over again for being consistent? Now that the temperature is rising, and I don't just mean the heat coming between Lindsay versus Carl, it can be really difficult to get my hair under control. I have like this wavy, curly, frizzy, natural texture that I genuinely love, but it can be really difficult to find a product that works for my hair without feeling heavy and genuinely counteracts the frizziness that I get naturally if I don't blow out my hair. That's why I love Way. Whether your strands are fine, medium, or like mine, thick, Way has shampoo and conditioner that's your type. I love the detox shampoo because it does exactly that. It detoxes your hair. And because I am a spiritual blonde and do have some color processing, the shampoo helps clean away all the schmutz that accumulates, leaving my hair feeling lighter and better than it did before. God bless that apple cider vinegar. And yes, for that frizz, I rely on the anti-frizz cream. I put it in after I shower, do a little scrunch of my hair, and I'm good to go. Way keeps me looking like me, just a little bit elevated. Jesse Solomon, have you heard my call? If you want volume, Way's fine hair and conditioner will give you a lift without weighing you down. Not sure what your type is? Take Way's hair quiz to find out. Wash your way to healthier hair with shampoos and conditioners made just for you. Go to theouai.com and use code Andy for 15% off your entire purchase. That's theouai.com, code Andy. After watching Lala and Sandoval's behavior on the Vanderpump Rules reunion, I developed such an intense thirst. I guess it's contagious when you're talking about Vanderpump Rules. So thank goodness for Fiji Water. Fiji Water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the United States. It has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH, and unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. In fact, Fiji Water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two, giving it signature soft, smooth taste. As someone who has spoken on the pod time and time again about the importance of having electrolytes, especially this summer, Fiji fits into my lifestyle so well. Before going on a little bit of a stroll, just a short one in these warmer summer temps, I grab my Fiji Water and I am out the door. Unlike some other premium bottled waters in the market, there's no ingredient statement on Fiji Water because there's nothing added to the water itself. Fiji Water is Earth's finest water. And as someone who's currently deep in the throes of watching Bravo's Finest Television, also known as Summer House, I know that having Fiji Water by my side is keeping me hydrated and refreshed. So Lala, take that. Sheena Marie, or as I will refer to her forever and ever, amen, Sheena Shea, has been right about a couple things in life. Number one, good as gold is a bop. Number two, apples are a delicious fruit. And also, family life is unpredictable, and a little peace of mind goes a long way. Now, as a single woman living here in New York City, Pedro Pascal, it's your time. Oftentimes, I am checking in with my friends because safety is important and so is peace of mind. In fact, when I had a medical crisis a couple years ago, my friends didn't know where I was while I was in the hospital. The reason they knew something was wrong, true story, was because I didn't show up to a private shopping appointment downtown. That's where Life 360 comes in. Life 360 is a family connection and safety app that lets you keep track of the people and things that are most important to you. The people you need to know are okay. A focus that Sheena Shea keeps in mind. While Life 360 can be used for so many reasons, the option of ensuring that your kids are protected while giving them independence, checking on your friends, or for me, as someone who has some chronic health issues, to ensure that people know where I am. That's why I love Life 360. Another thing I love about it is that with all of these lovely European schleps, in addition to sharing my flight information with my mom, she can see exactly when I've landed because of the app. Parents have enough to worry about. Breathe easier with Life 360. Visit life360.com or download the app today and use code Andy's Girls to get 1 month of the gold package for free, plus 15% off all tiles. That's life360.com, code Andy's Girls. It's good as gold. Maybe, you know, she's been more flexible than she initially said with like, I don't want to have anyone in my life who is currently friends with Tom. I don't want to have him to have access to information about me. I don't want him to have access to potential ways of manipulating me. I just don't want to have that energy around me. And maybe she felt, understandably so, like you have to choose between me and him. I really don't think that's a big thing to ask. If you have girlfriends in your life who are close girlfriends who are seeing what this man did to you and did with another good friend, the ways that he laughed at all of you dressing as his mistress for Halloween, fucking her in your bed when you were home in Florida for your, I think it was Florida, somewhere, for your grandmother's funeral, and you think that it's hard enough to hold on to anger. I get it. It's like all a part of the process. I understand how detrimental holding on to anger and rage, what that can do to your physical and mental state. I get it. But to constantly try to encourage the crossing of Ariana's boundaries for the cameras or not, to me, doesn't make sense. It just doesn't. Why not have that conversation with someone else? Unless this is ultimately about your job and your frustration is that Ariana is making that work harder than it should be, or that maybe it's distracting from storylines you would like to have because the focus is on her, or she is a deterrent to making your storyline perfectly fit. I don't understand why that's ultimately her fault. That's a production issue. Like, if you feel like your storyline can't move forward because Ariana is the deterrent, because she's either doing too many projects or she's become too famous, I don't know why she should be blamed for that. Because ultimately, isn't that a frustration or an anger you should feel toward the people running the show? Like, if you were in Ariana's position and this crazy, terrible thing happened, and then, you know, you weren't sure what you were going to do financially, next steps in your life, anything else, and then a bunch of opportunities became available, every single person in that cast would jump immediately and grab as many of those as they possibly can. Look at how quickly and easily and successfully they did capitalize and monetize moments from the Scandoval itself. I don't begrudge any of them for that. But why is Ariana being blamed for doing the same that all of you guys did? With the podcast episodes, with the merch, with the song? Like, why is Ariana the person who was genuinely most affected by this? This is her life. Tom had a role in everyone's in the cast, but this is her life, her money, her house, her heart. For her to figure out different ways of like extricating herself from her life with Tom, why is that given the same kind of structure as her life in the show itself? I don't know if that makes any sense. But at this point, after 1 a.m. in the morning, to me, it honestly kind of does. I just don't get it. And it's like, again, the show is being so heavy-handed with this that I just feel confused by it, because there's a certain level of coaching, there's a certain level of questions, of positioning, of the use of clips that to me are meant to enforce like an anti-Katie and Ariana narrative that to me just doesn't work. It doesn't work within this reality. So then the fighting is essentially about whether or not you're fully available to do your job. And the issue that I have with Lala in all of this is she's made this a question of the show. The show is ultimately the reality. If something happens on the show that isn't aired, it's the responsibility of the person for saying something, God forbid, without a camera crew. If they don't repeat that thing on camera, then their behavior is false. Or alternatively, the exact opposite of what I just said. If someone behaves in a manner that might potentially make sense and it's filmed but doesn't make the final cut, then it still doesn't exist in the reality of this show because it didn't air on an episode. And I just have a lot of issue trying to understand that. Like, I saw it with her arguments with Katie and her arguments with Lala. And those are essentially the arguments being framed on the show. No one cares anymore about being mad at Tom. No one cares about the rage that Sandoval has expressed about Schwartz. The only anger that's being questioned or criticized is the anger to me that's being expressed by Ariana and by Katie. Because I think on Vanderpump Rules currently, women's rage is treated as unnatural versus men's, which is either expected, ignored, you know, maybe there's a little side eye roll. But when it comes to Katie and Ariana, we have to hyper focus and either force through an apology because they have to apologize for being so mad, or distort that anger as being entirely representative of their character. And ultimately, their anger is wrong. And the way that Lala is treating this like weird fucking phone call between Lala, Katie, and Jeremiah about what Katie feels and how she feels toward Ariana in the mix of, like, you know, Ariana getting Chicago, not being there likely for a lot of like the restaurant meetings, maybe submitting her checks for rent for the restaurant late, whatever it is. Katie is saying that Lala wanted to turn that, you know, frustrated vent session into a storyline. Katie didn't want to do that because I think she just wanted to vent, and she probably understood, as Lala did, that saying that shit on camera sticks. That when you say it on camera, and especially knowing what we know now about a very specific lens directed, I think, by, had to be, but it's literally edited by production. Someone is crafting the way that we are supposed to be watching these episodes, what it is that actually lands on fucking TV. It feels like Katie understood that she did not want the tables turned against her. She did not want her friendship with Ariana to be defined by, you know, this is going to sound worse than I mean it, but like a tantrum, like a venting session. People are allowed to feel upset at their friends. People are allowed to feel jealous or angry or frustrated. It doesn't make them a bad friend. It makes them a human person with feelings that can be complicated. You can have a relationship with someone that you consider really close in your life and have episodes or moments where you feel you might dislike them on a Thursday, and maybe you talk about it on a Sunday. Maybe you internalize it for a little bit. You go out to lunch, you talk it out or not, or maybe you process it by talking about people you trust in your life. It does not mean that Katie feels like Ariana is bad. It means that maybe Katie was struggling with trying to process all of this and feeling a certain level of upset that she was not afforded the opportunities that Ariana was and was not given the grace that Ariana was. I think that's something that Katie and Lala both probably agree with and understand. The difference is that Katie did not want that to become a permanent opinion, which is what it would have been had it happened on camera. Had it happened on camera and not been a call where they're discussing what it is that they want to share. I don't think this was an oral friendship contract that Jameson had them sign by answering the phone. I think this was them maybe talking about, here's what we're feeling, here's what's going on in our life, and maybe talking it out. Maybe this is like a part of the pre-production kind of energy of, how are you feeling? I know the last season was like fucking nuts. Here's what I'm hearing, X, Y, Z. You know, what do you have to say about it? What do you want to focus on? Or just like, how are you doing a Wednesday at 5? You know, like, what's your current energy like today? Katie did not owe Lala saying that on camera. And Katie can also choose to change her mind. She can say, as she and Ariana both did, that like, we've had conversations. This is not a surprise. Now, do I think that Katie was trying to deny maybe more of the reality of what specifically she said in the call? Sure. Yeah. I think that there's absolutely the possibility that she said more stuff on the call than she said to Ariana IRL. And does that make her a fake person? Does that make her someone who's creating a fake storyline? No, I think it makes her someone who was venting to two people that she trusts, which was maybe not the right decision to make looking back. Maybe it's one that she would change if she had been given the benefit of, in the future, changing her mind. But is it something that's emblematic of her character being fake? No. And does that mean that Lala is right because she's saying this stuff on camera? It also isn't. Like, who's being more fake in this scenario? Is it Katie, who's being quiet about upset that she feels toward Ariana, that we are led to believe she's processed? Or is it Lala, who to me is not necessarily being honest to herself? And maybe she is, and God bless her for that, because that's sort of sad. But maybe it's her being honest about the wishes of production. Because at the end of the day, Lala and Sheena have a very specific perspective about what it means to have this job be a success and how can they possibly move forward. And they are of the opinion that seemingly production is, that the only possible way the show can move forward is if Ariana forgives Tom. And I just don't agree with that. Or if Ariana participates in a forgiveness scene with Tom. You can't say that the argument is the only way to move forward is if Ariana is filming with Tom and that's not happening, because we've seen that it has. They've gotten into it. It's been short moments of a lot of rage, but it happened. It didn't not happen. It literally did occur because we saw it in the episodes that aired. So is the frustration now that like this is all against one, like the only way, or Ariana is the stumbling block? Then my question is, where's your frustration? First off, LOL, obviously at Tom for creating this environment. Again, everyone has skipped over that. Everyone keeps skipping over, because as Lala says on the after show, when someone shows you who they are, believe them. Well, you're doing a pretty shitty job of that. I mean, how many times does Ariana need to show who she is for Lala to believe her? If Katie is a human person who one day, or maybe more than once, who even knows, let's say a couple times, is like complaining to Lala about Ariana, about the fact that neither of them were given the opportunities that Ariana has received, because unfortunately the person that they fucked over didn't do so as in such a big manner as Sandoval did, you know, being the kind of cast member that he is on this show. At a certain point, when it, normalizing change your mind based on new information, when someone shows you are believe them the first time, well, we've had first, second, third, fourth, fifth. I don't know. If someone behaves in a way that you disagree with, does that mean it shouldn't exist? I mean, that's another argument that Lala seems to be pushing forward, which doesn't make sense when it comes to boundaries on the show. And there was a content creator who posted a clip of Lala from, I don't even know what season it was, but just yelling at the cast, including, I believe, Ariana, saying like, you don't need to understand my behavior to accept it. And it's just one of those clips, one of many that people can post, of Lala saying exactly what Ariana is now. The difference is, back then, Ariana listened. And Lala isn't giving her that kind of grace. Like, she's saying essentially that the difference between her trying to enforce boundaries and her split with Rand and what Ariana is doing now, the difference is that she is currently fighting for custody and has a child. That she's like, the big difference between the boundaries that I set, the reason that those are okay and Ariana's are not, is because I have a kid. And I just don't understand that even a little bit at all. The way that Sheena and Lala are referencing their motherhood and having a child as a way to mock or diminish Katie and Ariana's livelihoods is not a good look. I don't see Katie or Ariana once ever pushing back or making light of the responsibilities that they have. So I don't understand what gives Lala and Sheena the right to do the same. Like, it doesn't make sense. Why isn't it enough for Ariana to be fighting for the well-being of herself? Why isn't that enough? Why should she be punished for making the decision not to have a child? And also, is Lala saying that if she didn't have a kid, she would be fine with people hanging out with Rand? Like, let's finish that sentence. She's saying at the reunion, she sits there and says at the reunion that the big difference here when it comes to boundaries is that my boundaries are acceptable because I have a child and Ariana does not. Why is it a competition between the two? Ariana's arguments are, I don't need to understand your reasons for enforcing boundaries, but LOL, I also do, to respect them. I don't need to question them. You don't even, it's like respect to me, the other word that I use is like, just don't question them. And then Lala's response is like, well, I don't understand it. You don't need to understand it to question why they're there. Lala is creating this like all or none binary of, if you have a child, you have the right to enforce boundaries. If you don't have a child, you do not. That's a situation, that's a challenge that Lala herself has created. Ariana didn't, Katie didn't. Sheena agrees with it, which is weird. The person who says on the after show, I've proven my loyalty and friendship to Ariana 100%, is not really showing that of late, certainly not at the reunion, because she agrees with what Lala is saying. Like, are we going to talk about phone calls that obviously Lala and Sheena have about what they're going to say at the reunion and the ways that they're going to support each other? Because I see a glimmer in both of their eyes as they're stepping in. I don't begrudge them for that. Like, unlike what we're discussing on New Jersey, it's normal to me for people to discuss what it is that they're going to be talking about at this filmed duel of an event. Like, that makes sense to me that you guys would be on the same page. You're also really good friends. What doesn't make sense to me is the way that you're going about making your argument. Like, it just doesn't make sense. And then Lala's reaction to Ariana saying, respect my boundaries, you don't need to understand them. And Lala responds with some fucking clip or explanation that goes to a clip of Charlie saying some shitty thing in 2 years ago in 2022 that Ariana apologized about. That doesn't have anything to do with boundaries, that just has to do with like defending your friend. Where's the boundary there? Is the boundary like when someone says something shitty about me, stand up? Ariana understood that. She apologized. So if we're doing this whole, you know, like learn from lessons past, well, it didn't air in the episode, so it didn't occur, but you know that it happened. Ariana's allowed to fuck up. The scale is not perfection. If she did something that didn't support you as a friend, you should talk to her about it and maybe she'll apologize, which she did. So why aren't you doing the same? It's like, it doesn't make sense to me. This is not the truthful way. Truth is complicated. It's like my truth, your truth, and then the goddamn truth. Isn't that what the fuck the phrase is? Whatever it is, there are often many truths to a situation because people have different experiences that affect their version of events. But the positioning of this doesn't make sense. The voice of reason here doesn't make sense. Feels like the voice of reason on the show right now is James. Because I don't know that Katie is the she's a voice that I agree with. She's a voice of reason in the sense that, like, I agree with her opinion, but I feel like the consistent, almost non-emotional or emotionally, I don't even know if this makes sense. The way that James is expressing emotion throughout this season, on the after show and on the reunion, to me is really consistent. And even though he's a total insider, he sort of does it as an outsider. Because he's obviously not Katie. He's obviously not Ariana. He's not Sheena or Lala. So he has an ability to sort of speak of and encapsulate whatever they're saying, often in direct contrast to what they're saying about Ariana or Sandoval or Schwartz. He's able to position it in a way that I connect with and understand. Katie, I'm not saying that Katie's not the voice of reason. I'm just saying she's like so deep in it right now that I feel like often she's on defense, and that's because the cast has sort of positioned it to be that way. I know I'm one of many people who struggles with the all or nothing fads. Juice cleanses, soup diets, keto, hours and hours of cardio. If this cycle sounds familiar to you, and it definitely does to me, there's a better, more sustainable way to lose weight. Ro provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Ro to help them lose weight. And let's talk about the big O, obesity. 4 in 10 Americans struggle with it. So there should be no shame in the weight game. It's okay to talk about weight loss and talking about it in a way that feels healthy. With Ro, you can sign up online from the comfort of your own home. That's right, the people's couch. This means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andyscrolls. Before being prescribed medication, patients must complete an online medical visit, lab test, and qualify for medication based on their BMI, lab results, medical history, and the discretion of a Ro-affiliated healthcare provider. The week before Aunt Flo comes to town is always a tough one. I just feel off. I don't feel like myself. My cravings go absolutely wild. And in New York City, when you can order anything at any time, it certainly doesn't help. Thankfully, now it's easier to manage PMS with Estro Control. And for those who are going through menopause or premenopause, when it can be equally a struggle to find comfort in your body, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony and Estro Control, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. And P.S., BT Dubs, Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it. But it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Hormone Harmony can help with all of those things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, HAPPYMAMMOTH.com, and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. There is something wonderful about the change of seasons here in New York. No, not just upping my electrolytes when I go for a relatively short walk. It's the smell of summer grilling, especially for whatever reason, I don't know why, in the West Village. It's sort of my seasonal clock. When I start to smell people, that sounds crazy. When I start to smell summer grilling outside, I know summer is upon us. And listen, I can't dig into my veggie dog or veggie burger without some bread or buns. Just because it's summer doesn't mean you have to cut out all the carb-heavy foods you love. Hero Bread reinvented the bread and buns that make summer great. Fluffy, delicious flavor and texture with no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. For me, getting enough fiber and cutting down on sugar are key elements to feeling better throughout the day. Hero Bread also has mouth-watering limited edition bakes, like the popular 2 gram net carb Hero croissant. As Luann would say, c'est bon, c'est bon. Keep the carbs out of summer without compromising flavor with Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co and use code Andy at checkout. That's Andy at hero.co. Like, the fact that Schwartz and Sandoval are getting off so fucking easy doesn't make sense. It feels like they're doing some sort of math equation and they're like, well, they got dragged so much last season that they can't be now, even if they're still doing bad things. That there should be like an expiration date on the level of anger they're met with. Like, how's that working out? It's not our fault that you've kept them in the cast. I'm not saying that either should be fired, but I'm saying this like current reality doesn't make sense, especially if their behavior doesn't fit the version of events that we're watching. And I just have to say one quick thing. And now this might be perceived as controversial, and I genuinely have to say I don't care. It's now 1:30 in the morning. I've had a day, and I'm going to keep it 100% real. I don't understand why Katie can't say bad things about Joe. Like, I don't understand why Katie can't be mad and say shitty things. I it doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand, honestly. I can get a little bit of this of like, sure, don't call somebody a rat, like, or call somebody a rat, but then apologize. Like, I get that. But the idea that Katie owes anything else to Joe, that she should owe her a warm welcome and some layer of friendship, is nuts to me. Like, I don't get it. I don't trust Joe. I've never trusted Joe. It appears in real time that Schwartz has caught up. The like oddity of all of this is that Joe is going to this reunion allegedly to talk about the ways that Schwartz has fucked with her and her upset over the season, but she's so much more upset at Katie than she is Schwartz. I don't know if that's because even though he was dating someone who he obviously really likes, she thought he would come back to her, or she's doing that thing that many of us have done, which is like, you fuck a guy, it doesn't work out, whatever, but you still like want him to like you in some way. Like, maybe she, you know, there obviously she had a friendship with Schwartz or some sort of situationship, whatever. They got on well for some period of time and she liked him, maybe likes him. In real time, she does not. I don't know how much of that contributes to this whole like, then I, because I like Schwartz, I can't like Katie, or Katie owed me a fighting chance. It makes sense to me that Joe and Rachel are close because they do behave in similar ways with this, like this, you know, Ariana owes me something, or I'm going to sue Ariana, and in court documents, going to have my lawyers refer to her as the scorned woman seeking revenge. Like, I don't trust anything that Rachel does in her opinion on most things relating to the Scandoval or the show. And it is kind of funny to me that Rachel's only remaining friend in the cast is Joe. Like, of course it is. Of course these people are close because they are living in their own alternate universe of explaining away their behaviors and saying they're the victim of their own unfortunate acts. Like, I know there's a gray area here. I'm not talking about the power dynamics between Rachel and Tom, but I am talking about the ways that they view Ariana and Katie. They skip over the guys for some stuff and go straight to the former partners of the guys that they once loved. And Joe's behavior, sending that fucking text to Katie when she found out that Katie and Schwartz broke up, of that like, what was it? Like, Bieber's Always Gonna Love You. Some fucking weird, I don't know, like Skittles, like Chase the Rainbow horse shit of like peace and love. When, yeah, do I think that she always wanted to fuck Schwartz? Of course I did. This whole like moving in to live with him for 4 days, some whatever, doesn't make sense. Kristen, God's gift to sleuthing, has gone on her podcast to essentially try to clarify and say what's being discussed on the reunion is like absolutely lies and nuts. That Kristen and Joe, and both of them would agree with this, were like best friends, very, very close friends. Kristen says that Joe essentially dropped her like a hot potato once she moved in for those couple days with Schwartz, because Kristen was saying, you know, well, what's going on? Why didn't you call me if you needed a place to stay? And Joe just sort of dropped communication. Now, Joe at the reunion is saying, well, you know, Kristen had things going on with her relationship and her environment was tense. Is that entirely possible? Of course it's possible. Although Kristen also contests that timeline of events. But ultimately, did Joe like Schwartz at that point? Yes. Is Lala saying, like, it doesn't make sense, I didn't know you guys even knew each other? Is that something that I think several members of the cast feel? Absolutely, 100% it is. Because it didn't make sense. It didn't make sense how this person who was, like, seemingly on the outskirts of this friend circle, who's friends with Kristen until she wasn't, because Kristen deemed her too much, I guess, after a certain point, that she would, you know, saddle on over to Schwartz, to Tom, and be like, hey, what's up? That is kind of weird to me. It's odd that you would reach out to his ex-wife the second you heard that they split, and before they filed for divorce, or maybe it was before they've sold their house, maybe they filed for divorce and it was like in between the filing for divorce and the divorce being finalized and before they sold their house, that you would stay with him and then at some point thereafter start fucking him. And it sounds like he treated you like shit. And I couldn't stop thinking about this book that came out during the Sex and the City era. Oh my God, what was the name? Oh, the name of it is like self-explanatory, which was like a big thing for 2 seconds that, you know, my grandparents told me about because I'm quite young. And it was this writer, was he even a writer on Sex and the City? I don't remember who the fuck he was. Greg, Craig, James, Tom. Oh God, if I don't think it was Tom. When the name of the book was He's Just Not That Into You. And it was like 200 pages of, if you're not dating someone, it's because they're just not that into you. And if someone is in love with you, they're going to be in love with you and they're probably going to want to date you. And like, if you're wondering if a guy is into you, but you're not with him, or it's like a situationship or something, the TLDR is he's just not that into you. And I'm watching Joe and Schwartz trying to explain the fact that Schwartz just wasn't that into her. And he's describing in a way that's so gross. And I think a lot of people can connect with, of like, peace and love, we were having a good time. But he didn't want to be seen with her. He didn't want to be identified with her as his girlfriend. He was not that into her. He was into her enough to have her take some, you know, amount of time. He would flirt with her. They would get along. He would call her Joseph, which still does not make sense to me. It's just like not something that you, I don't know, a nickname you would apply to like your maybe girlfriend or maybe in Schwartz's, I really don't know. But he didn't like her enough to identify her as his girlfriend. He wanted to hide her from the group and maybe certainly manipulate her and explain away whether or not they were stooping during filming, or, oh, you know, by the time that the finale aired, we weren't sleeping together. So that means that like none of this ever occurred. It was tough to watch. It's also somewhat of an LOL to see Schwartz so upset at Joe in real time. He's blocked her on Instagram. He's like deleted or blocked her number on his phone. He says she's a compulsive liar. He says that she's lied 20 times. He said that she approached his family and said something we don't yet know, but it was some big lie that he found disturbing. And the fact that she was even like approaching his family at all is not a great look. He said that his sister at one point was pushing for them to be in a relationship. He kept saying to his sister, like, no. And also, have we met his sister? He kept saying to his sister, you know, like, I didn't know that he had a sister. He kept saying to his sister, I know the triplets. I just didn't know a sister. He kept saying to his sister, no, like, essentially, I'm not that into her. His sister was pushing it. No, she seems great. Whatever, whatever. She goes on some trip with Joe for 2 nights. And she said it was one of the worst things she had to experience in her life. She was traumatized and then blocked Joe from her social when the trip was done. That was 2 nights with Joseph. That was 2 nights. So guess what? Spoiler alert, maybe Katie wasn't wrong. Maybe this person isn't great. He said that Joe lied and said she was a babysitter of one of the show's producers or executive producers, and the producer told Schwartz at some point in time, no, I've never met this person in my life. She also apparently told people, I think according to Kristen, that she was Aaron Rodgers' personal hairstylist and would be flown out by Aaron to do his hair at, I guess, assorted, I don't know, RFK election events. Like, I don't know what. And the fact that it was Aaron Rodgers is such an LOL to me, because that's the name, obviously, that Joe mentioned as an LOL at the end of her time on stage, which, like, justice for Allie for being on stage the same amount of time Joe was. Like, how does that work? I guess it's just a matter of these two people. Like, Allie needs to go up there for some godforsaken reason. She's not on stage the same amount of time that Brock is. Like, that's problem number one. But the fact that they're on stage the same amount of time is, like, hysterical to me, because Joe was not a big part of the season. She was an issue between Katie and Tom, but it's not like there was a lot that was happening there. Or maybe I'm just saying that because she made me really uncomfortable. Because something is a little, I don't think she's a good fit for reality TV. I don't know that she's a great fit as a friend, but that's between her and the friend to find out. Best of luck to her and Rachel, by the way. I'm sure they'll stay close. It's just, it's not great. So to see Schwartz, he goes on Brittany and Jax's pod. Jax wasn't there. He goes on Brittany's pod to be like, the reality is, which is the name of, I think it's the name of their pod. The reality is essentially, or when reality hits or something reality. Get me back on, keep me on Bravo full time. He just essentially says, like, she's not great and I don't like her and she makes me maybe uncomfortable or whatever else. It doesn't excuse Schwartz's behavior, which remains toxic AF, but it is to say that when it comes to, like, the sympathy I guess we're supposed to feel toward Joe because Katie doesn't like her and hurt her feelings, I don't know. I didn't need the dossier of information that Schwartz received to know that Joe wasn't great. And I don't think Katie should be blamed for expressing a certain level of upset that this person has inserted herself into this friend dynamic, contacted her with seeming support, and then went to fuck her ex, like, within months. I think the breakup happened in March, and we're talking about this stuff going down in what, like, June or July? That's not a long period of time. And who knows how long the wheels had been in motion, because you just don't show up at somebody's house with a bag. So, like, when did this all happen? And also, I don't buy that it was only 4 days. And if it was 4 days that she was there in between, like, her apartment or something, she obviously slept over longer than that. So whether or not they had some sort of, like, little camp, you know, pitch a tent in more ways than one, that wasn't just like she was there at Schwartz's apartment for 4 days and never again. Obviously, that was a place where she spent a significant period of time. And that's on Schwartz. He made a bad call, I would assume. And him being like, oh, I don't want to talk about how much I love my hot girlfriend because I don't want to disrespect Joe. Sweetie, don't start now. Don't care about Joe's feelings now when you didn't before. And now we're supposed to care that you've realized that she's not great. I mean, good for you for catching up. Like, you were on a, you know, a 5 second delay. So cool. She's not great. She's maybe a compulsive liar, allegedly, or whatever. spoiler alert, some of us didn't need that proof to kind of feel that way. We like didn't need all of that to know it, if that makes any sense. Also, I do have to just say, as like a total sidebar, that Sheena being upset that she didn't know that Ariana was on Dancing with the Stars, and then Andy turning to the camera and being like, Dancing with the Stars, your charitable write-off is to cast Sheena the next season, is all fine and good. But the thing that I thought was really funny is that Ariana's talking about the fact that essentially she told some people she was joining Dancing with the Stars and there was a leak, and that meant she had to like shut everything down and not tell anyone else, or at least not tell people who are in the public eye. I'm sure that other people were told, or maybe not, but were aware until that point, who aren't being like constantly tracked as the cast was. But it is genuinely funny, and no one spent on that stage, or maybe they just sort of like internally, you know, winking or something, that of the couple people who knew Ariana was joining Dancing with the Stars, those couple people included Lisa Vanderpump. Now, I would bet you a subpar meal at Wolf, the LVP. I don't know that she still has those Radar Online interns on her speed dial, but it is very funny that of the couple people who knew, Lisa was one of them. And also, did Ariana choose to tell Lisa? Because that actually does not track to me, that Ariana would reach out and be like, hey, Lisa, guess what? Great news. Like that doesn't make sense unless... No, it doesn't make sense. And also, their restaurant opened, something about her opened. LVP made a big, you know, to-do about Tom and Schwartz being business owners and whatever else. And I don't think she said a single thing. I think she said one thing, which was like, congrats in the press, and then said, you know, I never go to openings. I always, you know, wait a couple weeks for things to settle in, which would be all fine and good, except that didn't happen when she was... when she was supporting the Toms, when she was supporting Sandoval and Schwartz. And also, she's had no acknowledgement of it on social. And I know she's very busy because she has like her new show coming, or her new show is out. I couldn't tell you the name of the show. I couldn't tell you anything about it, except that her recent Watch What Happens Live with Gordon Ramsay, her co-star, was like top notch. It was an excellent episode of Watch What Happens. But it is just kind of funny that she hasn't acknowledged it at all, and came up with some fakakta excuse that didn't also... I mean, how easy is it to put up a mazel tov, mazel of the day Instagram story? Like, the not acknowledging it is a little bit of a look, I think, except if you're asked by a reporter and then you don't do anything else. Also, it would be a crazy press opportunity for Lisa. And I'm not going to say not that she doesn't need one, because Lisa Vanderpump is not going to turn down a little bit of a photo op. It would be so easy to just swing by. I don't even think she'd have to wait in line. Look how great that would turn out. Anyway, also, can we have another sidebar, that the whole nothing about her, the like dumb one-off line that Lala said that was obviously intended to be a moment on the first episode is also something that she said on the after show. I don't remember if I said that on last week's episode, but it occurred to me, because I think I was then at some point before today watching maybe last week's after show, and it's something she had said to James. She had the like nothing about her line. So the fact that she repeated it is, I don't know, maybe like, if at first you don't succeed, try again. And so she said it on the reunion, and I don't know which was filmed first, the after show or the reunion, but like, Lala understands, like, we don't need a catchphrase twice. Say it once and hopefully it'll land. It didn't, it flopped, but I mean, kudos to her for flopping twice. Is that the lesson that we've learned? I don't know. Listen, what a day. What an episode. I'm a little annoyed, I guess. Not really upset. Just a little annoyed, because I thought the second episode was not good. And I don't know. Unlike Lala, I don't believe that feelings are facts. And it just... It didn't land, and it makes me feel sort of gross as we go into the third part, to know that the big moment, when everyone in the cast finds out that Tom was seemingly manipulating them the entire season, as most of us knew would occur, most of us knew was happening in real time, that the big fight is supposed to be between Lala and Ariana after all that, Isn't that a big sign that something has gone terribly awry? That the big surprise is supposed to be about Sandoval proving he's a piece of shit and everybody immediately like sighing and rolling their eyes? Talk about anger and rage, guys. We didn't run out of it just because last season he was bad. There should still be a little bit more energy left. And if the cast isn't supplying it, the audience absolutely is. So that's that on that. Listen, you can listen to those Patreon episodes I mentioned, the Satchel's Spectacular, at patreon.com/AndySkrulls. Again, it's a 2-part, 2-hour long double episode. You can send me your Satchels of Gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Clorne Ben-Simone, by sliding into my DMs on Instagram at DameGally, or email me a thesis at andysgirlsshow@gmail.com and let me know your thoughts and feels on part two on whatever the fuck I just said for the last 3 or 4 minutes. Your thoughts on Summer House. My God, an episode. What would Jesse Solomon do? He would marry me immediately. Thank you so much. Someone could let him know I'm available and live on the Upper East Side. That would be great. Just a couple of Hebrews. Find in love forever. Just lighten those Shabbat candles, but also our hearts. So let me know your thoughts on The Valley, VPR, Summer House. Allegedly, New Jersey is airing, and we love that journey for her. And it might be featured in an upcoming Patreon episode. And in the meantime, thanks to all of you for listening to this spectacular monologue mess. And I will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.